Welcome to episode number 358 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk about a topic that gets really hotly debated: video games and kids. Do violent video games make kids more aggressive? We're going to talk a little bit about that, about how we have a tendency to look for things to blame when bad things happen. Let's talk a little bit about that today and our kids. Are our kids in danger if they're playing violent video games? Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is February the 25th, 2014. 2015. Our topic for today is going to be video games and violence. Does playing violent video games and video games in general make your kids more violent? There is a myriad of discussion about this that goes back and forth, and there is a pop culture that jumps on the bandwagon to say that, well, of course, if your kid's playing a violent video game like Halo, Grand Theft Auto, etc., then your kid is going to become more violent themselves. Why is that? Well, it's monkey see, monkey do, right? That's kind of the mentality that we take with this. Hey, guess what? Research doesn't show that. Research doesn't show that. We're going to talk a little bit on a practical common sense approach, as well as some of the supporting research that does not support that mentality. So if your kid's playing Halo, you're not creating a sociopath necessarily. Let's talk about that here in just a little bit. Before we get into that, let's get to some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to stay notified, all the new shows that come out here. Maybe you've been listening for two or three times and you're really kind of interested and you're like, man, I want to hear more of this. I want to make sure we, you know, catch these shows. Go to thefamilypodcast.com. Right hand side, you'll see a little green box. Once you scroll down a little bit in our new pretty site that we just built, you'll see where it says subscribe to the show. You can actually put your name and your email address in there and then hit submit. Boom, you'll see that. And that's my little funny addition there to that button. But when you do that, it'll make sure that you stay notified of all the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast Network. We do that so that way you can always make sure that you never miss out on that one show. If you just could have heard it this week, I'm telling you, we get those emails. Man, if I just would have heard this episode last week, we want to make sure that doesn't happen to you. Sign up. Don't miss out on a single show. Also, maybe you've been listening to the show for a while, and you're like, man, I really want to be a member of this, Trey. I want to help you continue to push this out. You know, what you've given to me, you've offered me so much in helping me change our life here at our family, that kind of stuff. Hey, consider becoming a member. PTACR is what we call that, a Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just our funny little play on being a membership there. But you can do that at $5 a month. It is simple as go to thehumanpodcast.com, click on the PTAC setup there, and then once it pops up, all you can do is click on the $5 a month that you can do for $50 for an entire year and save some money. And whenever you do that, you do get access to stuff that only members get access to. You also help support the show and help us go and build this place further, better, bigger, and more awesome. Last, if you guys have any questions, comments, a topic that you want to hear something over, or maybe somebody you want to get on the show, there's a lot of ways you can contact me. Go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can click on the Contact Us page. There's a lot of different, if you hover over that Contact Us, there's a lot of different options you can go to there. You can email me at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also call us through the Japkin app, where you can, if you've got a microphone connected to your computer, or if you're using it on your iPad or your iPhone, you can do that. Or you can always call us directly from your phone, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. All right, guys, with all of that mess out of the way, let's get into our topic for today, which is video games and kids. Again, this is hotly contested. I'm going to wind up pissing some of you guys off today. I want you to know my desire is not to make you angry. My desire is to not challenge you down to the, well, yeah, I guess no, it is. I would, if I didn't care about you guys, I wouldn't challenge things that are wrong. And so I'm going to challenge a few things today, guys. Before we do that, I want to make sure that we get into the disclaimer section of this. Number one, I am not saying that all video games have good morals and values, and that because they don't necessarily become violent when they play them, that I say that they should play them. Okay? So let's word this a little differently. I'm not saying that if I try to convince you today that video games don't make your kids more violent, that you should let them play. That's not what I'm saying. People are going to try to run. They're going to bum rush me with that. Well, Trey, I don't think you understand. Grand Theft Auto, you can select to have sex with a prostitute. I'm not saying buy Grand Theft Auto for your kid. We will never buy that video game for our kid. We will strongly try to discourage them from buying that movie. We will never buy that movie for them. Period. End of sentence. No other way around that, okay? So just because I'm saying that it doesn't make them more violent, I'm not necessarily saying that you should go out and buy that or that you should not support it, okay? So there's one of my major disclaimers right there. Next off, I'm not saying that violent video games don't create higher stress levels in younger kids. The answer to that is most emphatically yes. There is research that documents that little kids that play more violent video games, they do show to have higher stress levels. So a lot of people say, well, look, there's this research here that shows that blah, 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 blah. Your straw man argument. If you don't know a straw man argument, you need to go look up a straw man fallacy. But a straw man argument is anytime somebody tries to make a point that you're not trying to make that's easier to defeat just so they can say they beat you. I say violent video games don't make your kids more violent. So then they go and grab research that shows that violent video games make them more stressed out. And then say, oh, look, Trey, you're wrong. Well, no, I'm not arguing that that's not true, okay? So don't strawman me on this. I agree that there are certain levels of stress levels that do raise in little kids who play violent video games. So with my little disclaimers here out of the way, I want to jump into kind of where, what, you're going to notice I'm a little passionate about this, I'm a little fired up, and it's for a good reason, and I'm going to tell you why that is, and then it's kind of what I thought, okay, we need to bring this back into how it affects in parenting. So I was spending some time. Everybody knows that there's this book out called 50 Shades of Grey. And first off, this is not an FPN endorsement of that. I've never read the book. I've read enough about it to know that that book's just not for me. No, I do not think you're Satan Devil if you've read it, or if you're going to read it, or if you're thinking about watching the movies. I don't think any of that stuff. It's not for me. It's not for my wife and I. It's not our stuff. On a different discussion and a different venue, I'll tell you why. But outside of that, I mean, I hold no contempt for people that do watch or read the books. But, you know, that's not for us. That's just not our deal. And so already now there was this guy who watched this movie or read these books or something, and he went out and he raped some ladies. I think it was several. And he mentioned that he had learned something about some of this stuff from 50 Shades of Grey. So already in the mother freaking media, there is this onslaught of, oh, look, here, and it's all, in dadgummit, it's all my freaking Christian friends that I just want to go around and smack them in the face that are just screaming about how, oh, look, 50 Shades of Grey has made, you know, they have made this person do this. You know, it led to them doing this. And I flip my freaking lid when I read this crap, because in my mind of minds, I am going, no! Inanimate objects like books and movies do not make bad people do bad things. So you see, it got me thinking about how we have a tendency to do that. Whenever we fail in raising someone societally, and I'm just saying our own kids, but whenever somebody else doesn't get raised the way they need to be getting raised, right? Then what do? We go and we blame these things like video games, or you guys know my perspective on firearms. We go out and blame firearms for why people get shot, right? We do all of these things. Now they're trying to ban machetes because some guy killed somebody else with a machete, or tried to kill somebody else with a machete in New York. So New York is trying to ban machetes, right? We keep blaming these objects that have nothing to do with it. That if you remove that object, if you remove video games, guess what? People are going to find something else that has violence in it. Are we going to blame that too? You take away 50 Shades of Grey. Let's just say we managed to ban 50 Shades of Grey. Do you not think that this pervert jerkwad couldn't have found some other way to create some ideas? No. Well, Trey, I think that if you don't honestly take a look at this situation and see how mainstream media didn't influence his decision in some way, then I think that you're living in a state of ignorance. That was actually what somebody actually said to me when I made this argument that social media gave them this idea. You know what? If we didn't have Facebook, if we didn't have 50 freaking shades of gray, perverted, retard, jerk faces are going to find ways to be bad people. You see, the immorality of human species runs deep. And there is nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can ban. No article gritching about a stupid book that's going to make the difference in that. But we do it with video games all the time. So see, I wanted to take this concept of how we blame other things and how they influence our kids instead of the thing that it should be. Us. If we have a kid who grows up with no moral compass, if we have a kid who grows up who steals or lies or has weird... What was that quote? It's the meme running around right now on 50 Shades. They have unusual, unconventional desires, right? If our kids grow up having unconventional desires, perversions, whatever, it is on us as parents for not being the ones to teach them that. Your kids are going to try to choose immoral activities. They're going to do it. It's what they do. Kids try to find the easiest ways to get the most amount of happiness out of life. And we understand as law-abiding citizens, let's just say liberty-abiding citizens, that sometimes the fastest and the funnest thing isn't necessarily the best thing, right? We understand that. And it's incumbent upon us to teach them as kids. And yet what's happening is that we're not teaching our kids these things accurately. And then they do these crazy things like go to schools and shoot up people. And all we can sit there and do is blame these inanimate objects instead of, why did we not talk to him about the belief systems behind these video games? I mean, let's kind of walk through some of this, right? Let's take 2012, right? Sandy Hook Elementary School, Newtown. I know some of the listeners that we have out there are going to run and they're going to start sending me emails about how that was staged, it was done by, you know, and the conspiracy theories, guys. I don't even necessarily disagree with you. I've seen the documentaries. I don't necessarily disagree, but for the sake of the argument today, let's go ahead and play with this. Sandy Hook Elementary School, Newtown, Connecticut, right? There was a perp. His name was Adam Lanza. He killed himself after he went on a crazy wild rampage and killed a whole bunch of people, right? Incidentally, his brother Ryan was mistakenly identified as being the guy who did all the shooting. Why? Because Adam Lanza stole his brother Ryan's ID for the school, and it was on him when he discovered that. And so the media hears about this guy named Ryan Lanza, and they go do all this research from him, right? And so later, the media finally corrects this, right? But it didn't matter. In that moment, I mean, bullcrap's, it went at the speed of light. And they went through there, and they went and looked around on this guy's Facebook page, right? And they found that he had liked this game called Mass Effect. And so what happened was, these guys that had no idea what Mass Effect was, pretty confident that it had guns in it, pretty confident that it had some violence in it, right? Didn't even consider the fact that Facebook has it. We like crap all the time on Facebook. I might have liked Mass Effect. I've never even played it before, right? Didn't even take that into effect, and it went crazy. And people stormed. Then all the next thing you know, all these people that had created Mass Effect were all of a sudden, helping child, murders and all this other crap. And I mean, it went nuts. It went nuts. Another one of my favorites. This is a good one. This is a true story. For those of you guys who know that, like, rickets is a very old skeletal disease that happened. We're talking like back in the late 1800s, and we hadn't seen it for years and years. But the United Kingdom, there were actually newspapers that began to blame video games for rickets, because what was happening was, is your bones, they turn soft, they get real brittle and stuff like that, and they start bending weird. They start doing these very, very weird things. And apparently what happened was, they began to connect that because you're playing these games, your bones are becoming to get brittle, right? What the article actually said was that kids are staying inside more, and because they're staying inside more, they're not getting the same amount of vitamin D from sun exposure that they normally do, and because of that, their bones are getting brittle. Okay? What happened was, they turned this into this huge thing, and it got so popular on the internet, and it went around, everybody just thought they had everything all freaking figured out with the video games and stuff, and all these people that already are sucking it up at parenting, they're not teaching their kids their moral and values and ethical belief systems, were finally finding this wonderful, lovely place that they knew that they could blame all these things from their kids on, right? I've got several other ones I was going to run. We're actually doing pretty good on time here. I'm going to go ahead and move us on. But I want to talk to you guys about let's talk about the real balance here of video games. And we have a tendency to blame inanimate objects, things that have absolutely nothing to do with what happens. Bad people that do bad things, we have a tendency to try to blame those types of things on these things. And we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this. Real quick disclaimer, guys. If you guys are hearing some noise in the background, it is raining here in Texas. Wonderful and lovely. I have a metal roof over my head in my recording studio. I think we've got it filtered out, but if not, I want a disclaimer that you guys on that. But so real quick, where I want to start with all of this is I want to start with this mentality of violence. Where does violence belong or not belong in our families? I want you guys to hear me very, very carefully say, guys, I do believe that violence belongs in our family. Oh my God, what did I just say? Some of you guys out there probably fainted in your headphones. Listen, violence does belong in a family. Let's face a very real thing in our world. In our world, there are violent people that do horrible atrocities. There really are Adam Lanzas that go out and shoot up a whole bunch of places and kill a whole bunch of people. There's people that drive their trucks through a Luby's window and get out their AK-47 and start killing people. There are people like in New York that pull out a machete and break down doors and try to kill people with a machete. These things happen. Violence is a likelihood of our world, whether we like it or not. And I'm telling you guys, I've studied it. I've worked with it, and there is only one way that I know of that works the best every time to handle serious violence, and that's to have some level of violence back. Now, I'm not saying that somebody comes at you, starts screaming and yelling, they're going to pick a fight with you, that the best answer is to pull a knife and stab them. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when somebody comes at you violent, like they're going to hit you, taking a violent or taking an aggressive physical stance and being able to neutralize a threat, guys. I'm talking self-defense here. Violence solves problems. Violence has been solving problems for years. For those people that say violence never solves anything, that's a lie. Now, what I am going to add to that is there needs to be a moral and ethical component that is combined with any violence that we use. You guys know my perspectives on this. It's that beautiful little word that we call non-encroachment, right? As long as you are not encroaching on someone else's life, liberty, or property, violence can be absolutely vindicated. It can be absolutely justifiable. Or if somebody is threatening your life, liberty, or property, violence is absolutely justified. I even think necessary. So guys, violence does solve things. There is a place for it. Yes, your kids do need to learn how to be violent and aggressive from time to time, because those things can save them. You know, I mean, there's a reason why we homeschool, but I have a very firm belief system that one of the best ways to handle bullies is to show that you cannot use your physical prowess to force me to do anything. I don't think going to teaching a kid to go tell the teacher or tell the principal, I don't think that's the right answer, because kids just learn to get more sneaky about it. And in a lot of cases, it becomes more psychological. And this is a guy who used to work in schools with kids that were getting bullied. And bullying, whenever you tell them to go tell a teacher, has a tendency just to get more and more and more clever, tricky, psychological, and damaging. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Bull crap. Let me tell you some of the things that people could say or do because they know they couldn't touch them. Whew, that was some of the worst stuff I ever saw. Worst stuff I ever saw. So teaching a kid to be able to mete out the same level of aggression back to someone else and show them that they cannot and will not use physical aggression or force to force me to do anything, I do believe is sometimes the answer. Now, with that said, that's how we look at violence and aggression here in the context of what we're talking about today. So we got to cover just a little bit about what has research said. You know, it's a difficult thing to say that research supports, because if you do enough research in any topic, you'll find research articles that go back and forth both ways. there are plenty of people out there that have published lots of really bad articles and bad research with very poorly done, poorly what they call sample size, which is how many people do they randomly select to have, be a part of it. How much is it really randomized? I mean, if you go to a city and you do a research, well, can you really say that, that the town of Tuscola, Texas, really is that similar to what it's like in Buffalo, New York, right? I mean, is it? I don't know. Probably not, would be my guess, because we're very different places geographically. We have a different type of, you know, people that we attract, and so it's just pretty unlikely that you're going to see similarities in there. And so there's a lot of bad research out there, so you have to be real careful with this. And so I took a little time, you know, to read through what are some of the articles that have been published about violence actually linking to aggression in kids. And here's what I found. It actually comes back to basically a few research studies that have been done actually in colleges. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So what they would, like in most of these articles that I read, like what they would do is they would take these undergraduates in college and they would either subject them to like violent images or scenes from a show, a movie or something like that, or they would have them play like a violent video game for like 15 minutes. And then what they would do is they would actually test the aggression in like different other ways, right? So like it's so like one of the ones that I read was is that after they would, you know, administer this aggressive thing, then what they would do is they would have a person like determine how much hot sauce they were going to put on their food, or how loud would they play music. Like they would tell them to turn music up to a certain height or a certain level or whatnot of their choosing. And so what they would do is that so they would go and they would have these violent experiences and they would be told, you know, apply as much, hot sauce or turn this music up as loud as you want. Well, in theory, that sounds like, okay, well, that could be a good thing, right? So the mentality is that, you know, if violence really does create more aggression, we're going to assert that extra hot sauce or extra loud music means more violence, right? Which, I mean, we would have to do a little bit of a meta-analysis to determine, is that really true? Is that really a good determination of violence? But let's just say we decided that it was. Here's what my question would be. If we do that, if we subject people to these kinds of aggressive, you know, thoughts, I mean, these kind of, you know, video games or whatever, and then we give them the opportunity to be aggressive afterwards, I think we have to ask ourselves, is the providing of the aggression actually what licensed them to be more aggressive? Say, what the heck did you just say, Trey? Okay, follow with me here. So I give you a violent video game, and then I give you the opportunity to turn your music up as loud as you want. Well, you've been given an option of, I'm going to turn the music up. So is it really that the video game made you turn the music up, or the fact that I offered you the opportunity to turn the music up as loud as you wanted? Here would be a better thing. Like, let's say we said we want to test this in kids, right? So we give kids a violent video game. We give them 15 minutes to play on it, and whenever they get done, then we give them a room. And maybe that room has a Bobo doll in it, you know, the Bobo doll that you can munch up and punch or pop or something like that. But at the same time, we give them other toys that we consider to be quote-unquote non-aggressive toys, right? But this is the equivalent of saying, I am going to give a kid a violent video game, and then to test his aggression afterwards, I'm going to put him in front of a Bobo doll and say, you can punch this Bobo doll as hard as you want, or as soft as you want. So do you see? Where did the license come from to be aggressive? I don't know. Maybe it came from the video game. I'm not saying that it didn't. What I'm saying is that I don't think that you can accurately look at these articles that they're doing that are testing aggression through these means and definitively say, oh yeah, look, the video game made them put more hot sauce on. Maybe. But what if it was the offer to put hot sauce that created that ability to put more hot sauce on? 100 of the things that I can think of too, like the hot sauce is a pretty poor one to me, because we often consider, you know, hot sauce to be like a macho thing. You know, it's kind of macho to be able to, I'm tough and I can put all this hot sauce, which, you know, mind you, hot sauce stimulates nothing but pain receptors in your mouth. Y'all understand that, right? But we all kind of consider it as like the macho thing to do. And so maybe it's a macho, machismo type thing. I don't know. But the results that we're pulling from the definitive clear cut statements that are being made, I think unfairly, that whenever we see these things, then we do these things, right? Monkey see, monkey do, like we talked about earlier. I just don't think that we can use the common research that's out there today to justify that. What I'm loving is there is now a slew, and I mean a slew, of new research that is starting to challenge kind of that old mentality. Because basically all the old folks thought that if you played video games that your brain was going to rot out and you're going to become an antisocial psychopath, right? I mean, that was kind of the old mentality. There's plenty of folks that are beginning to grow up and challenge this, and I love it. And so we get these folks that, like, you know, they played this violent video game and all of a sudden they, you know, now they're starting to be, you know, more violent and they murder people, or maybe they go to, you know, and shoot up a whole bunch of people at the school. My first thought is, what if I told you people committed murder long before video games ever existed? I mean, that's it right there. Long before video games existed, crazy people did crazy crap. Young people did crazy crap. It's just the way it is, guys. I mean, I hate saying it that way because it doesn't make the atrocity any less. But we're never going to get this fixed if we keep blaming inanimate objects that are morally neutral for the lack of moral choice that our kids might make. Do you understand that? Trust me, I don't like this any better than anybody else. Because that means that I have to take a look at the fact that I've had one of my kiddos, and I don't have this kiddo's permission to talk about it, but one of my kiddos has been sneaking things. And so we're talking theft, right? And when I adapt this mentality, I can't start blaming Halo 3 or whatever they're playing. I can't blame the fact that they've been stealing these things on these video games. I have to take a look at it and say, I have not been educating my son well enough in these areas. He doesn't understand the effect that theft has on people. And so it is incumbent upon me to have to make that change. But as long as we're blaming things outside of ourselves, you know, this kind of goes back to admitting our mistakes like we talked about on Monday. The value in admitting our mistakes to our kids is that it allows us to change and allows them to change, right? But so long as we're blaming things outside of ourselves, we can't do anything. We can't change anything. We can't get better at anything. Nothing changes so long as we continue to do this. So does video games make our kids more aggressive? So far, everything's pointing to the fact that it doesn't. There was a really interesting article. It wasn't even done by psychologists. It was actually done in a December 14 Computers and Human Behavior magazine. It was very interesting. What they did was they set up people to play 15 minutes of a video game that was typically considered to be just an ultra-violent video game. I mean, the epitome of what we expect. And then what they were going to do was have certain people who didn't play a violent video game, certain people that play kind of a mid-level, and then some people that would play a very, very highly violent video game were to play that. And then at the very end, they were going to be given the opportunity to make donations to certain, like, charities and stuff like that, right? The hypothesis that they formulated was that the more the violent the game, like the harder the puzzle, that the lower the charitable donations would be, right? Because violence would create more violence, and we don't typically consider charitable donation as anything but benevolent, right? And so what they found was complete opposite. There was no connection between the three different groups, the nonviolent game, the mild, and the heavy video game. There was no connection between the three except in one thing that there was a little bit of a connection, and that was that the players of the ultra-violent games actually donated more to people. Now, why that is, I can only begin to speculate, but I find that interesting. November 2014 Journal of Communication, they released an article called "Does Media Violence Predict Societal Violence?" If any of you guys want copies of these articles, I can provide them to you guys. Just email me and I'll shoot them to you. But what they found was that there was absolutely no direct connection between kids that play violent media games. This was in the United States, mind you, that actually increased any youth violent rates. As a matter of fact, if you actually pull... And I can actually provide these as well. But if you pull the FBI statistics from, I think, 2014, you can actually find that overall in the last 50 years, our violence in our kids has actually decreased by 50%. And so there's just not the research to back that up either. And on a quick correction on that, guys, that I went ahead and pulled that article up again. That was from the FBI.gov. That was from the 2013. That was from the 2013 crime statistics that they put together themselves. Crime rate has actually fallen by 50% over the last 20 years. So the mentality that we've got more games than we've ever had before. So in theory, following the theory that people propose, we should have more violence now because of the... I mean, now video games are violent on our gaming consoles, but our iPads and our iPhones too, right? I mean, we can do everything from those devices now. In theory, it should be higher, yet it is not. It is not. Let's see. Another one that was done also in the Journal of Communication, they also found that as video game consumption has increased nearly eightfold since 1996, the violent rates among America's ages 12 to 17 fell from 35 to 6 per 1,000 people. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Why are we getting this so wrong? It's all about ideology, guys. It's about a series of thinking that is already set up because, again, like we talked about last week, we don't like to admit our mistakes as parents sometimes. When we don't like admitting our mistakes as a parent, we have a tendency to look for things to blame. I mean, I hate saying that, but it really is true. And we don't like to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, should we have taught our children something different here? Yes, some of you guys out there will say, Terry, doesn't there reach an age that they have to be accountable for themselves? And even if we kind of screwed up as parents, now it's kind of their turn just to figure out how to get it right. And the answer to that is yes. On the flip side to that, it is still, that doesn't make it any less incumbent upon us to be able to sit down and to figure these things out with our kids. Luckily, we're getting a lot of people that are starting to wake up to this stuff. They're starting to take a look at it as people are kind of moving into like a moral panic about this whole thing, and they're starting to look for places to blame. People really are starting to wake up, and there's a lot of good research that's out there. So let's wrap it up. We need to start wrapping it up here on, okay, Trey, that's great, but what? I can't answer that for you guys as a family. What I can tell you is that I can answer it for you guys as a Casa de Gibson, Homestead de Gibson type thing. Here's how we do video games. We allow video games in our household. We do allow our kids to play certain violent video games. For instance, my son and I and my daughter and I, we all sat down and we played Halo 3 today, and we enjoy it. Halo 3 is a video game about groups of soldiers that are typically alien soldiers and human soldiers that go and fight each other. You can also play a multiplayer version, which is we play against each other, and in those cases, yes, you can be human on humans shooting each other and killing each other. In situations like that, we have absolutely no problem. Now, some of you guys might be like, Trey, aren't you setting yourself up because you have firearms in your house? Absolutely not. We have a very strict and a very rigid philosophy of firearms, and firearms either stay locked or on our person at all times. And so there's not a leaving a firearm out type of incident that occurs. And so with that said, we really adopt this approach that's very stringent about what you do with firearms and how you treat firearms. We have a series of rules that kids aren't even allowed to touch a firearm until they can recite and understand those five rules absolutely as deeply as possible. For those of you guys who are aware, it's Colonel Cooper's gun safety rules, and we love those, and we teach those as an axiomatic ethos in our house, and so we don't question those. And we absolutely approach that. What I have found is that a lot of what my son, for instance, uses on what he plays on video games, he actually learns how to adapt that into real life, and in terms of like muzzle sweeping and some of the firearm concepts that are real popular right now. And I don't want to bore you guys with all that part of it, but the answer to the question is no, we do not have a problem with that. Have I seen my son get more aggressive from time to time? I've seen that. Like, he loves to do some of the attack approaches that Master Chief will do on Halo. Yeah, absolutely, we've seen some of those things. And we have to talk to him and say, listen, son, there's an okay place to hurt somebody. And then that it opens us up to sit down and talk about it. I bet we've probably had one conversation with him when he was starting to get a little punchy with people. And some of that was also because Daddy was coming home with a lot of the martial arts training and teaching him. So I'm going to kind of combine those two together. And what do? We just had to sit down and talk with him about it. Say, listen, son, that's not okay. You cannot use that in this situation. But let's talk about when you can. When is it okay to hurt somebody, right? Well, this is when it's not okay to hurt somebody. Well, let's talk about why we don't hurt our brothers and sisters, right? Because we want our brothers and sisters to protect us, and if they're used to us hurting them, right? What we're talking about there, those simple concepts such as, why do we not hurt our brothers and sisters? Because we want them to protect us when we need it one day. You know what that is? That's teaching kids why not to be bullies. See how it works? The reality is violence is a part of our culture. It's a part of at least our American society today. It is whether we like it or not. So trying to take the mentality of let's don't talk about it as though it doesn't exist is not the approach. In a lot of ways, you can view video games as exposing your kids to something that allows you to start talking about the moral and the ethical value systems that you have about violence. You know what? Maybe you're a peace, love, and don't ever hurt anybody, even if they're hurting you, right? I mean, maybe that's the approach that you take, and that's fine. I am very okay with that, but you need to be talking with your kids about it. Your kids need to be aware that there are people out there that are violent, and they want to hurt, and they will hurt. You see, they open us up to that. I'm not saying that you go and grab your 2-year-old and you go buy a copy of Halo 3 just so that we can start talking about violence with them. They do need to be able to understand, cognitively be able to process what we're talking about. So you don't need to expose them too soon, but there's nothing wrong with taking your kids and exposing them to this stuff. Violence is a reality in our life. I wish it wasn't. But it is. It happens. Your kids are going to see it. Your kids, if they're going to public school, probably are already seeing it. So we need to teach our kids. We need to train our kids. So that way, one day, we're not looking down the end of a metaphoric barrel where our kid has committed some act of violence and we never stop to talk to him about when is it okay to be violent, when is it not. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Friday. Jeff and I are going to sit down for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast. We always have a great time and a great show. You're definitely going to want to come check it out. Hey, if nothing else, I hope you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll see you all on Friday.